Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Jack Martin. Jack's the Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Education. And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Cameron.
Jack, let's spend some time talking about the department's management initiatives. Could you tell us more about the department's response to the president's management agenda?
In response to the PMA, we have developed and implemented what we call one ad at the Department of Education to help us find the best ways of performing our major business processes, from strategic management of human capital and competitive sourcing to improving financial performance and integrating budget and performance. On the last OMB scorecard, we were green on progress for all five of the government-wide agenda items and the two program-specific items applicable to the Department of Education. And these two are our community and faith-based initiative and elimination of fraud and error in student aid programs. On status, we had two yellows in the last cycle and hope to improve this for the new cycle. We've made good progress in resolving our PMA issues related to financial performance, and I think this is reflected in the scorecard ratings that have continuously improved during the last year.
Now, the department's really accomplished something with the implementation of the new financial system and getting a clean opinion in the same year. I think it's the first agency to actually do that. Has OMB and GAO recognized you for that?
I think they have. We will see when the next scorecard comes out. They've applauded the effort. I think it was something that the successful implementation of Oracle was something that we had to do to achieve a clean opinion. There were a few minor hiccups after our go-live date, January 22, 2002, but I think those hiccups were minor compared to what I've seen with other major system implementations and compared to what the Department of Education experienced in the last 5 years trying to implement new systems.
What do you think you could attribute that success to?
I think it was we had a strong team of career employees. We had good support from our consultants, and I think it came together. And I think there was the knowledge that I was expecting that we would be successful, the secretary, the deputy secretary, and being successful was a must for us to reach the clean opinion, which was a common goal. E-grants and e-travel have a major impact on financial management, as you know. We are fully engaged in e-grants, having detailed staff to the Department of Health and Human Services. We plan to be ready in October for the implementation of phase one of the government-wide initiative, which is a find and apply website. I think additionally, and I'm very proud of this, the department's grants administration and payment system currently provides e-application, e-reader, and e-payment functionalities that have been used for many of our awards. So we're actually, what's being studied in some departments, we are actually using and have implemented at the Department of Education through GAPS. We also have available through GAPS e-reports and e-administration functionalities that have also been used by some of our programs at the department. Last year, we implemented a full-blown electronic travel management system. While we're enjoying the benefits of this system, we anticipate becoming fully involved with the government-wide initiative. And I think this travel system, as I may have said earlier, is a good example of the need for culture change. Early on, we were getting many, many complaints from our employees and managers about the system, and we responded through training and other initiatives, and we don't hear any complaints now.
What are the lessons learned in terms of sticking in the e-grant systems? For example, you said others have not been able to do this, but yet Ed has.
Well, I think that I don't know what the structure of the grant programs are at other departments. I think at education, practically all of our discretionary money goes out through grants. And to manage that from payment, from application to payment was just a must of doing business. And I think we had, we've had since I've been at the department during this administration, we've had great support from our program offices and great support from our financial systems.
Can you tell us about EDCAPS, or the Education Central Automated Processing System, and how it's improved delivery of the department's programs?
Well, EDCAPS is a financial management platform containing applications such as contracts, our contracts and purchasing system, what we call CPSS, the accounting system, I've mentioned Oracle, an end-to-end grants management system, GAPS, that we just discussed, and a fully automated travel management system. I think the most significant thing about this platform is that all applications are fully integrated, all sit on top of one database. The platform increases data integrity and reduces data redundancy across the department's financial management processes. And I believe the department may be the only agency in town, we believe, that has taken financial management integration to this level, to have all financial management applications fully integrated in this manner.
And that, listening to you talk about having integrated financial management makes me think about all of the different programs that it cuts across and how there are probably a lot of different challenges from a management perspective in coordinating that. Could you talk a bit about how you manage those diverse pieces within the organization?
I think what we have in our financial systems operation is a team of very talented people. And again, I'll say supported by some talented consultants that are able to be totally responsible to user needs, and that put satisfying our customers first.
One of the things that's been interesting is Ed has been on GAO's high risk series since its creation. Could you tell us about Ed's plans for getting off the high risk series?
What we believe was our last major hurdle to getting off this high risk list, demonstrating that relevant, reliable, and timely financial information is available in the FSA programs, was achieved in January with our receiving a clean opinion on our FY 2002 financial statement audit. I think, unfortunately for us, timing was such that significant achievement occurred after GAO's most recent assessment, which was also released in January. We'll be requesting that GAO reconsider its latest designation based on our receiving the clean opinion and continuing to have management focus and commitment to ensure continued improvement in our financial processes and procedures.
Jack, can you talk about FSA and how it, how you manage among the financial information across as a PBO and a department? There's some, you know, diverse needs.
I think what we do now that wasn't done before is that the PBO and the remaining, the other units of education work very closely together. We CFO of the department, of the department's PBO, attends all of the CFO meetings. I and managers from the Office of the Chief Financial Officer are working continuously with the members of the financial team at the PBO. So I think, unlike how I believe it worked before, we essentially work as one unit now. For a time, probably from June through September of 2002, the chief financial officer and the accounting functions at the PBO, FSA, did report directly to me. Right now, it's more of a dotted line and working together. But I think the communications, the fact that we all recognize that we needed to get that clean opinion, both FSA and the department as a whole. we all realized the need to do that, and the result of that was a clean opinion.
Good stopping point. Come back after our break as we continue our discussion on management with Jack Martin of the Department of Education. What does the future hold for education? We'll ask Jack for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.
How can the U.S. Agency for International Development reform its workforce? The answer can be found in the recent endowment report entitled Human Capital Reform, 21st Century Requirements for the United States Agency for International Development by Anthony Quainton and Amanda Fulmer. This report contains 25 recommendations that were developed in a thought leadership forum held in October 2002 and sponsored by the National Policy Association. For a copy of this report and other endowment reports, visit our website at www.businessofgovernment.org or call us at 703-741-1077.